You know, I know what the song says, we'll all understand it by and by. But you know, we that are here this morning, we already know it. We know what to expect. We're going home one day. And I thank the Lord for that. But not only that, He's also expecting us to work for Him until He comes back. He hasn't come back yet, but I'll tell you one thing, He's on the way. He is on the way. I sure am glad of that. I don't know what day it's going to be, but I no doubt that He's there in heaven praying for me, and He's praying for you, and He's praying for Faith Baptist Church as a whole. If you will, turn to the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 10 through 14. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. Right here we've seen where it is speaking about the gospel. The gospel is set around Christmas because Jesus Christ, He is the gospel. He is nothing else but the gospel. He's no a figment of our imagination, but He is the gospel in which we must believe and we must confess to Him that we are sinners. And we must confess to Him that yes, that I am undone and I need His righteousness and I need His love. But the gospel of Christmas, I got to thinking on Christmas a whole lot, and I was going to bring another message on the same thought, but I was going to bring it on the tree. But the Lord wouldn't let me get away from this one, so. But you know something, we don't have to wait a whole year after the day before we can bring up the gospel or bring up Christmas, because Christmas is the gospel, and everything about the tree, the lights, all the ornaments, and all the presents that's under the tree at home that's wrapped up. And they have, all of them have a symbol to it. All of them have something there that will entice us to look to Jesus Christ. I know it's going to be a whole lot of individuals this Christmas. On Tuesday morning, they're going to get up and if they get up like we did, my mother, she always called us at 5:30. I mean, it didn't make no difference if we're 6 years old or 60. She called us at 5:30. She loved Christmas. But on Christmas was a day where the family got together. And you know, and when you're up in age and everything, or when you come out of your childhood and to teenage years, or when you're just in your maybe 20s, 30s, and 40s, and even more than that, then Christmas means more to us then than it ever has before. All the time before, it was always about the gift. It was always about that box under the tree that had our name on it. But within that, speaking of that alone, we have such things as the sword, which is the Word of God, which is the Bible that we take. We should never go nowhere without the sword, because the sword is our protection. The Word of God is our protection, and it will protect us. And the sword, as in Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 6, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Adullam. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and thy land shall be soaked with blood, and thy dust made fat with fatness. Right here we see, and at this moment in time, to where Jesus Christ went to trial, and even Pilate said, don't do anything to him. He hadn't done anything wrong. But the people, the mob, they said, crucify him. Crucify him. And they did. But before the crucifixion, he was brought life. His mother had brought him life. I was listening to a song coming down to the church this morning, and which it was on one of the programs too this past week. And now, the song is about Mary, about baby Jesus. Everything focused around Mary and giving birth to our only begotten Son. And the only begotten Son was because of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost that came that day and impregnated Sister Mary. She, at that time, She wasn't married. She was dating. But she did get married because it says Joseph never had laid with Mary. And all of that, this day and time, if we set up, if we stand up here, if we preach that message right there along that line, a little narrow line there, then we would probably have half of the people not come back to church. They just stay out. Why? Because they think that they are supposed to lie with somebody. They're supposed to go to bed with somebody. They're supposed to do them things. They're supposed to do the sinful things of the world. But they shouldn't do it. That's against God's law. That's against God. And against everything that Jesus stood for. What a privilege. What a privilege it was for the angel to look down upon me and said to me, there is a birth that has taken place. And when the Holy Spirit, through the angel, had revealed unto me how that birth came forth, it was where the angels, see, the angels knew nothing about sin. The only thing the angels knew anything about was God and His righteousness. See, because the angels had never put their feet upon this earth, where this earth that we're on was cursed by the devil. It was cursed because of what they done there after His birth. All the people, they just went on and they said, no, so we're not going to do that anymore. We're just going to do what we want to do. We don't have to go to church. My kids, they don't have to go to church. They don't have to be faithful to God. They don't have to love God. See, all that's from the devil. And the devil, he tells lies. And he's the father of all the lies. But the gospel is the good news because it vanishes fear. Because of the fear that we have in our own heart. That is the reason that we love the gospel so much. That's the reason that I love the gospel, because the gospel tells me, fear not. Fear not. There has a Savior had came. Fear not. The only thing we're supposed to fear, we're supposed to fear God, but we're not supposed to fear not. We're not supposed to go out and do anything to where we're going to come to church. When we come to church, first thing we're going to do, we're going to kneel there at the altar, and we're going to pray, and we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to forgive us for that sin that we just committed. We've got to ask God for forgiveness. We're up here preaching about all types of forgiveness and everything. And we even preach about the individuals that come to church, and they'll come to church, and then all of a sudden they'll get a little fretted and everything. They'll go on home and everything. They won't come back to church. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? They don't know anything about the gospel. The gospel itself is full of love. And we must realize that. That's the good news. The first words the angel spake. The first words the angel spoke were, "Fear not." We are told that the shepherds were so afraid. The shepherds there that day, and they was afraid because they didn't really know what was going to happen. Because they did not know anything, the truth about Mary. They did not know the truth about Mary. So they was afraid of what was going to come out. What was going to speak to people. Because no doubt that them individuals that were so afraid, them shepherds. And I know that probably each one of us in our journey in life, we have done something. And we have confessed it before God. And we've asked Him to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us with the Savior's blood. But we're so afraid the things that is in our past, that's in the past and everything, God's not going to bring it up because He don't look on sin. But we get sometimes so afraid that with us talking that we'll just say something. And then when we say that, the lead up to that sin that we had committed, but we've already asked God to forgive us for it, and He saved our soul. So it's no need us bringing it all up. There's no need bringing up the past. Only thing we can bring up is the present. And the only other thing we can bring up is the future. In Luke, in verse 9, chapter 2 and verse 9, well, verse 10, we are told that the shepherds were so afraid. In verse 9, it says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid." They was afraid because of the presence of the Savior had shone all about them, around them, and above them, and beneath them. He was right there with them all. And you know the story about how after he was born, and some people said he was about 12 years old. I don't think that was it. But I'm not going to argue with nobody about it. But I think the Catholics has got a whole lot to do with the 12-year-old meaning. And I'm not going to argue with nobody about it. But with that in mind, and just thinking about what he had done, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that Jesus, this individual, this baby boy, do you think he knew anything about love? Do you think he knew anything about what's going on and what's going to happen? He may not have knew right then when she gave birth that very moment, but it wasn't but a few days later that he knew exactly the reason he was here. The reason he was here, the reason he came, and the reason he was born in a lowly stable where was an empty wooden trough there that had no feed in it, had no water, had no nourishment at all for him and for the cattle there. So no doubt, either Joseph and Mary, one of them, probably, I'm expecting probably it was Joseph, went up there and he probably took something, maybe a rag from his clothes, and went up there and wiped out that trough. Had it so clean, it wasn't nothing else in that trough. But then, when Mary, when she gave birth, where did she lay the Lord Jesus at? Where did she lay him? She laid him in that trough. Now just think about this now. That trough had a symbol of his death, burial, and resurrection. Because of the blood. Because the blood that came forth that day from Mary giving birth to him must have spread on the wood. It doesn't say, and I'm not going to say it did, but that's just what I'm thinking, but I could be wrong, and I'm probably wrong, and everybody else is right, but hey, I mean, to me it sounds good. I mean, you know, we don't know everything. Just like Jack Van Impe, he don't know everything. He can, I mean, as far as the second coming, as far as the return of the Lord Jesus, and the book of Revelation, and the book of Daniel, and the book of Ezekiel and everything, he knows that. He knows it. He can quote quote the Bible, starting with Genesis 1:1, all the way to Revelation 22:21. I believe that Jack Van Impe can quote each and every verse and tell you what chapter it's in and tell you what book it's in. Why? Because he studied the book. He stayed in it. He read it. But with all of his knowledge about this book, he don't know but just a glimpse of really what it's all about. Just a glimpse. See, that's all God gave us was just a glimpse of what he has for me and for what he has for you. Just a glimpse. And, you know, I don't understand people. And really, I'm getting to the place to where I don't even try to understand them no more. Because I don't really think they even know what they say anymore when they talk about that they're saved, that they're Christian. I see no salvation now. I don't see them walking with Jesus. I don't see them going out here and loving people like Jesus loves them. To be a Christian, we have got to act like a Christian. And that means that we've got to act like Jesus Christ acted. We've got to take on the form that he had. We had to take on his love, that we can share his love. And we can share our love too. Because if we don't love our brother and our sister in whom we have seen, if we don't love them, how in the world can we love somebody that we've never seen before? You can't. You can't. But I'm just so thankful that through the Word of God and through me reading the Word of God after I got saved, because I didn't know anything about being salvation. I didn't know what I had to do. I didn't know anything about I needed to join a church. Didn't know what type of church I should join. Only thing I knew was that I want to sinner no more. That something changed in my heart. And when it changed in my heart, your attitude will change. Your perspective on life will change. Where you go will change. Like this song, and I wish I knew all the words to it. I can't sing, but I can read all the words to you. Talking about that individual, where he's in his song, he said he's got speaking to his little boy or little girl or whatever, and he's telling them, he says, "Son, this is not your old daddy. This is your brand new daddy." And it changed him. We must tell our children, it's not about what I used to be, but now it's about what I am now. And through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of me before the Baptist did. Before an individual church got a hold of me. Because if that was the case, I would have probably bowed down to the Baptist or the Methodist church. Because they'd be preaching and everything, and they'd bring it up about, you know, if you ain't saved, you got to be a lonely individual. If you want to have life, you need to get saved. But see, they don't tell you how to get saved. A whole lot of them don't. A whole lot of individuals today, they don't even know how to even go about leading someone to the Lord. I'm talking about leading them to the Lord by the Word of God. And it's the gospel. It's not, we don't have to go back to Deuteronomy. We don't have to go back to Genesis. Or Daniel, Ezekiel. We don't have to go to the book of Revelation or the book of Ephesians or the book of Colossians or anything. Only thing we need to do is go to the gospel. There's four gospels. And each one of them gospels tells us what it represents. It represents the King. And it represents the Savior. And it represents each one of us. He represents the church. We need to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we've seen where when the presidents, when they're elected, and when a new president goes in, then they got a cabinet that they got to fill. They got many positions that they have to fill. Some that don't, because they won't dismiss the people that is there. But just about every ambassador that the United States has and has had in the past, the president's always got his own ambassador. What was that ambassador to do? Is to do what the president wants them to do. Wants them to bring peace. Wants them to try and go and talk to these public figures and everything overseas. I mean, we've had governors that there used to be governors here, right here in the United States. There was an ambassador. It was an ambassador to the what's that place up in New York? The United Nations. An ambassador to the United Nations there. Because she was always there. And when you go there, and when you are put in that position in an ambassador, you're not an ambassador here to the United States. You are an ambassador for the United States. And to give out the policies and give out the things that has the United States has stayed so strong with. Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it, whereas the Lord was there. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thine anger and according to thy envy, which thou hast used out of the hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them when I have judged thee. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all thy blasphemy, which thou hast spoken against the mountain of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given us to consume. You know, Jesus, he had a whole lot of chores on his plate that he had to fulfill, that he had to go and provide the chores to the individuals that is on this great land that where God the Father had created. And yes, in God, he made it perfect. He made it perfect. But then man come on the scene. And when they come on the scene, man has done everything they could to bring this earth down. Down to the level that where it's never been before. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he's a Savior to his people. He's a Savior to this church. to Faith Baptist Church. He is the Savior. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings of Faith Baptist Church and the people that are here this morning. Now, we may come back. Next time we come back, we may happen to have a visitor come. But we don't know if they're saved. We don't know if they're lost or what. But if they're not saved, we need to pray that. And we need to pray. Don't pray when I'm preaching. That's when you need to pray. You need to pray the power of God down. Then what he's allowing me to say and what he okays it, that it will touch the individual's heart with such power that they can't sit there any longer. I mean, people today, they're so fragile. If you say something wrong to them, they'll all break to pieces. Just like that song that I know I've heard a million times. Broken pieces. The broken pieces is speaking of the heart. Well, the heart has been broken so many times. And we don't know how to pick him up. We don't know how to place him back together. See, that's the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will take every piece and he will mend that heart back together like it had never been broken before. That heart has never had no heartaches. The heart has never shed anger or anything and ashamed of anything about the Lord Jesus. The gospel is the good news because it saves. The gospel. The gospel. Four books in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four gospels. But then you have the rest of the books that tells you about all what went on in them four books. It tells you this and that and what went on. And it teaches me and you what we must hang on to. And the one we must go to and ask for forgiveness for. You know, we can go and we can ask for forgiveness. But if we go, we better make doggone sure that we done checked everything out ourselves. Before we asked him for forgiveness, we have to forgive ourselves. And after we forgive ourselves, then what we'll do, we'll say, that's in the past. It's gone. No need me bringing it up. No need nobody else bringing it up. Today's a new day. Don't worry about the past, because the past cannot help us. The only thing the past is going to do is bring us down. It's going to bring us down to the level of so many other people. Because now they look at, well, I can't go back to church down in Faith Baptist Church. I was going there one time. Really, and I love going, and I love the former pastor down there, and I love the people. I love them all. And I still love all the people. But there's one individual that they done something, and Yes, I allowed it to get to my feelings, because I had my feelings on my shoulders and they knocked it off. So then I forgot about it. I forgot about the people that I loved, and I forgot about what joy I was receiving from coming to church. I forgot about the Word of God. I forgot about prayer life because somebody else had hurt my feelings. And when they left the church, what did they do? They left God too. They left God too. I would rather quit reading God's word. I would rather quit praying. I would rather just quit going out and doing what I'm doing. If I had a choice between that and serving Him, and where I'm not ashamed of Him. People today, they don't like to hear them words, ashamed. What am I ashamed of? I ain't ashamed of nobody. I mean, hey, I've got a fantastic job. I make good money. I have anything else I want. What am I ashamed of? I'm not ashamed of anything. But they get by themselves when there ain't nobody else around. When the friends is not there. When they're not there, what do they think about? If they ever been to church and if they ever thought they'd ever got saved, they'd be thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. What did He do to me for me to leave church? I love the people down there. And I love going to church down there. I love for them to, I mean, I love doing stuff. I love helping people down there. What's wrong? I don't think you ever experienced the love of God. And the only way you can experience that kind of love is the love that He puts in your heart the day that you get saved. You don't have to wait for His love. You don't have to wait for the Spirit of God. You don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit taking it up an abode within in you. So many people are here today, they're preaching that you must wait. You just might get in your head, you gotta wait at least 6 months. You gotta wait 6 months. Some say you gotta wait a year before you can ever feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. Hey, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit when I walked in Brushover Baptist Church that day, because somebody was speaking to me and I thought it was a preacher. I thought it was that missionary, Brother Rodriguez. I thought that's who I thought it was. I thought he was speaking to me because somebody had went and told him some stuff about me. And they told him I was lost. But I was a good person. But I was still lost. And I was going to die and go to hell. See, we don't have to tell the Holy Spirit nothing. We don't have to tell the preacher nothing. God will reveal everything to you. God will reveal everything to you. Because He did me.
He revealed everything to me, and he told me that I was a son. It's been a long time since I heard that. But he also told me that if I was to die right then, I was going to be separated from my family. I was going to be separated from my grandmother and my granddaddy. I was going to be separated from them. Why? Because, see, they've gone on to heaven. And really, that is one thing that we don't mention a whole lot of anymore. It's about the individuals that don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the gospel as it is. But they must hear it. They must hear it. And I don't get up and I don't preach about some of the things that I preach just to be preaching. I depend on the Holy Spirit. Every time I get up here, I depend on Him. Because a whole lot of times I've come up here and the verses of Scripture that I've studied all week, and once I get up here, I'd still be studying, still be going, looking over the Scripture and everything, and my notes and everything. But when I get up here, he said, Donnie, forget it. Forget it today. I'm going to do the preaching today. And I'll tell you one thing. I love it when he comes down and starts preaching. Because I can feel the Holy Ghost breeze. Because it gives me the goosebumps. It gives me the little cold chills up my arms. And if I had short sleeves on it, sometimes you could see them. I mean, they just pop up and look like, well, great Danny Moore. I mean, what's wrong with him? I love it when Jesus passes by. I love it when the Holy Spirit starts speaking. I love it when God the Father comes down and he starts showing up in his services. And I love it when all three of them gets in here and just start shaking stuff up. And just shaking it up to the point that, hey, something's going to happen. Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three are here. So something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. But a whole lot of times, we get in the way of that. We get in the way of that. Of the happening. We won't raise our hand and just wave to him. Say, Lord, here I am. You see me, Lord? I'm waving at you. Lord, I feel so lonely today. Yeah, he sees you. And he will feel that loneliness that you have. Because he will put something else in there. Besides the loneliness. And what he puts in there will overshadow the loneliness and overshadow everything else. Why? Because of the gospel.
The gospel is good news because it glorifies God. You know, that's one thing that we need to remember when we come into church. Not just you, but me also. We all need to remember one thing when we come to church. We're coming to church to praise Him, to glorify Him, to love Him. Because see, we've been in the world all week. Been with all the worldly people all week. Now, how many of you do you go through the week and you don't have to deal with the world? We have to deal with them. We cannot go out here and just deal with Christians. Because a Christian today is far removed. We don't have many Christians anymore that knows what the word Christian means. They won't tell you it means Christ-like. They don't tell you that it means that I got to walk with Christ. It don't mean that I got to walk with God. They don't know anything about that. But they are Christian. You know the only reason they say that they are Christian? So I won't say anything else to them. But I'll tell you what. With me, ain't gonna shut me up. The glory to God in the highest. We see that in verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The gospel is the central theme of heaven. The gospel. The gospel is all about Jesus Christ. And that's what heaven is all about. It's about what Christ has done for me and for you and for the rest of other people in the world. If they will just forget about trying to serve God in the way that they want to serve Him. They need to go and serve God the way this book teaches, the way this book commands them to serve Him. That's what they need to do. And if they'll do that, they'll do the right things. And when you get into a verse or chapter there that they don't understand, should not quit. Don't quit reading just because you don't understand that chapter. And you don't have to dwell on that chapter. You don't have to dwell on them verses that you don't understand there in that chapter. All you have to do is just keep reading. You get in the next chapter, the blessings are pour out all over you. That's God. That's the way God works. He wants to bless me. And He wants to bless you. He wants to bless each one of us. Each and every day. During the week. During the weekend. On the holidays and everything. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. 176 hours a week. That's how many hours is in a week? 7 days. 176.
hours. He wants to bless us every hour, every minute, every second that we're alive and well. And you know, I don't know why, but it's hard really today to go out and visit. Just talk to people. It's not like it used to be. It's not like it used to be when Brother Poovy had just come down here and started church, and they built the church and everything. It's not like it was back then when you could get up there and you could preach, and you could preach hell hot and heaven sweet. And then the next thing you know, then you can see the people, they get involved. And they start glorifying God and start giving Him praise and glory and everything. And then the next thing you know, you'll have one stand up over here. Say, "Woo! Thank you, Jesus." And then you'll see an elderly grandma sitting over there, and she'll pull that handkerchief out of her pocket. And she gets to wave. And say, and what she's doing, she said, "Jesus, yes, I'm going to surrender to you today. I want to surrender everything that I have to you today." We don't have it no more. Why don't we? What's wrong with it? You know reason we don't have it? And I hate to say it. It's because of me. Because of you, the Christians. We don't act like that we have anything. We don't act like that we even have God on our side. We don't even act like that we love one another. That's what's happened. Nothing has happened except for that. That's the only thing that has happened. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Lord, we know that we're celebrating this time of year. And we're celebrating the birthday of my Savior. The one that went to Calvary. The one that climbed Golgotha's hill. The one that allowed the Roman soldiers there to place him upon that cross. And to nail his hands and his feet on that cross. And put the crown of thorns upon his head, where the blood started dripping from the crown of his head to the bottom of his feet. And that spear, Lord, where the individual was supposed to go and break his legs, but they said it's no use in it. He's already dead. So they didn't break his legs, which they won't anyhow, because it had already been said back in the book of Deuteronomy that no bones will be broken, and there wasn't any bones broken upon him. The only thing that was broken was his heart. It was broken in so many pieces. But I'm sure thankful that you know how to mend the heart back together. And Lord, and I pray for each one of these individuals. I pray as we go our separate ways, Father, during the holidays, the day that we're going to celebrate, really, is Tuesday, that where the government and everything, they've come up with this particular date and everything. I don't know where they get it from. But that's what they've got set aside. And Father, help us, Lord, that we can go in and we can worship you that day. And not worry about all the things and all the gadgets and all the electronics that we get. Don't let us worry about any of that. Just let us worry about our own life, our own soul. Are we living the Christian life that is pleasing to you? Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope each and every one of you have a Merry Christmas. I believe.